Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody have a story to tell. Everybody's dealing with something or somebody. Happy Sunday to each and every one. Your radio host, Pastor Mina Livingston, bringing the word of God this morning, Elder Gerald Livingston. Amen. We want you to sit back. Amen. Praise God. Get your pencil and paper and your coffee and listen to the word of God and jot down the questions and hear this wonderful man of God that's explaining the word of God. Amen. God dropped the knowledge in his heart, and we want you to enjoy him. Thank you for tuning in to Push My Story. Amen. Everybody have a story to tell. Here's Elder Gerald.
Praise the Lord. Good morning to all of you listening to me at the sound of my voice today. This is Elder Gerald Livingston from Push Outreach Ministries. Today, the subject of discussion will be Jesus promises an advocate. Now, what is an advocate? Well, in present day terminology, the word would be defined as an advocate, if you looked it up in the dictionary, would be a lawyer, okay? Someone who pleads the case for somebody else before a judge, and then before the decision is rendered by the court. Okay? Now, the advocate that we have is our spiritual advocate. Okay? Jesus Christ is our spiritual advocate. Okay? Now, earth, you have all kinds of judges and you have all kinds of lawyers. Okay? But the way law functions in the kingdom of the earth is not the same way it functions in the kingdom of heaven, okay? Because, see, in the earth, you have to answer to a man when you go before a judge or something that you need a lawyer for a presentation of your discussion or whatever your situation is, okay? But the advocate that the Christian has is he's our eternal advocate, okay? And he pleads before God our case with regard to the salvation of our eternal souls, okay? Now, if you're not a Christian, you don't have a spiritual advocate. Yeah, you may have an attorney. You may employ attorneys and everything. That's how the earth does things. But you need an advocate, someone who's a go-between, someone who is an intermediary between you and God. And the only intermediary who's an advocate who tells the Father about our situations and pleads and talks to God on our behalf regarding any situation is Jesus Christ. He is our advocate. Okay? Now, if you have your Bibles, whichever text you may be using, Christian Bibles, turn to the 14th chapter of John. Okay? And that's where I'm going to be beginning my discussion today. From the 15th chapter of John, and continue on as time will permit. Okay? Now, the 15th chapter of John, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. His commandments can be kept only in one way. The believer must ever make Christ and the cross the object of his faith, which will then give the Holy Spirit latitude to work within our lives and help us do these things which we must do. Now, if a person does not have the presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling them, then they don't really have much to work on when they encounter problems in terms of an advocate, because they don't really have a spiritual advocate because they don't have the indwelling Holy Spirit. The only people who possess the indwelling Holy Spirit are people who submit their lives to God, and God gives them that special gift at the time, or as they seek the Holy Spirit. If they don't have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, if they continue to seek Christ, they continually knock on the door. Continue to ask, okay? So what you got to do, you got to go through prayer. When you pray, you got three phases of prayer. You got the asking phase, you got the seeking phase, and you got the knocking phase. Now, when you ask, you go before the God and you ask with a pure heart. You ask in a pure heart, even if your conscience, you may feel as defiled because you feel guilty, because the enemy will always try to make you feel guilty, make you feel unworthy, tell you, you know, why you're wasting your time. You're just useless, you know, you're a bag of trash, this, that, this, just worthless. But you got to understand that you can't listen to the words of the enemy, because the words of the enemy, if you listen to them and you think about them, they will conjure up images in your soulless realm, and you will take those images that you have placed in your soulless realm from listening to a bunch of worthless words, which you could have just ejected from your system had you the presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling you. And you could have just, ignored that and continued to ask God. See, the devil knows that if you persevere and you continue to ask, you know, you will eventually have your case heard before the Lord, or your petition heard, or whatever it is, okay? Now, I said ask, seek, and not. Now, the seeking phase is like when somebody's seeking for something, all right? They just, you know, they will think, go to any depth to find something. Turn over, look at, you know, anything, okay? Say, for instance, you was in a studio and you had, like, say, $1,000 in it. And you had it hidden in the studio and people saw you on the TV. And you said, now, I hid $1,000 in the studio. So when I'm through today and I leave the studio, if you find it, you can have it. Can you imagine the mob scene? People will be turning over everything to try to find that $1,000. Well, you got to look at that in a spiritual way. You got to have that veracity. You got to have that intensity. You have to seek very diligently because you want something. So if you want something, you're going to seek hard for it, right? Okay. Now, knocking means now you done went through all of that now. All right, you're knocked on the door to ask Jesus to come into you, you know, deal with your situation. But, you know, you still haven't got your answer. Now, the enemy is always going to have a spiritual force that's going to try to stop you from getting spiritual penetration so that you can get your prayers answered. You must understand that. Just don't think just because you're praying and you're seeking that all the time. I'm not saying God's not going to answer your prayer. I'm just saying that you must understand you have to deal with an evil force and opposition, because it hates prayer and it knows that God answers prayer. It's going to come against you. Okay, so when you're praying, you know you're praying. You know you're praying to God, and when you conclude your prayer, you conclude it in the name of Jesus. At the end of now, when you're through with that, Jesus is your advocate at that point. He has heard everything that you said, and he's the only one who can go to the Father with your petition. You can't go to God directly with your petition, because that's not the protocol of heaven. You need an advocate. You need Jesus. You just can't say, well, I'm going to go to God and ask him to do this. No. You can go to, you pray to God and ask him in faith, okay? Not the faith that we produce. See, faith is something. Now, faith is a substance. Now, we can't produce faith, and we don't have any. All right, so anybody that's telling you you got great faith and all of this, no. It's the faith of God that you utilize. It's God's faith. It's not yours. okay? Like, for instance, when people go to a spiritual meeting and people want to hear the word of God, and then somebody speaks about salvation, now the Spirit has to draw a person to want to come to God. You just can't go to God anytime you feel like it. And you say, well, I'm going to go to God when I get good and ready. No, don't work that way. God's Spirit has to woo and draw a man. And only the Spirit of God can draw you to him. You cannot go on your own will or your own volition or your own conjurations or whatever else you think you got planned, okay? The Holy Spirit will woo you to God, okay? And once you get to God and you submit your life to Christ and you get saved, blood bought with the precious blood of the Lamb, you know, you've renounced all of the iniquity and sins of the past and strive to live for God while you were here, then you can go to God with a clear conscience, without without some defilement about you not righteous. And, you know, the enemy ain't nothing but a big liar. You know, you have to realize that. You know, he don't have a PhD in lie. Here's the word of God. He's the author of confusion. Now, when somebody writes a book, the book is always notarized and signed by the author when he's through, right? Well, every lie in existence, Satan's the one who's got the book, and he done wrote, okay? And then, and sometimes, man, in his so silly, greedy mind, you know, not seeking the things of God, by his behavior, Satan says, wait, look at that. I didn't think of that one, but he adds that one to his book. You know, he says, wow, I didn't think of that. I wonder why. Hey, that's pretty good. So the devil is a liar, and the devil don't want you to have an advocate, okay? But remember, before I continue on with this discussion, if Jesus Christ is not in your life, this discussion does not concern you, because you don't have an advocate. You've got a worldly advocate, but you don't have a heavenly advocate. Okay, now, in verse 16, it says, and I will pray the Father. Now, didn't I just say about praying to the Father? And he shall give you another comforter. Okay? Now, parakletos, which means one called to the side of another to help. Now, the Greek word parakletos means one called, you know, just like I said, it means one called to the side of another to help. Now, that one called to the side of another to help, Jesus Christ is the one who's called to the side to help you, okay? That he may abide with you forever, okay? Before the cross, the Holy Spirit could only help a few individuals, and then only for a period of time. Since the cross, he lives in the hearts and lives of believers and does so forever. Now, when Jesus Christ was on the earth as a man, manifest in the flesh, you know, he was going about doing God's work, okay? Now, and he did it on a couple of occasions. He didn't have to go there because of the faith of the individuals, and he healed, you know, those individuals healed, okay? But see, what you got to see, a lot of people don't understand about Jesus is the following, okay? Jesus' name is Jesus Christ, okay? Jesus is God manifest in Christ. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Christ is the anointed one dwelling in the body of Jesus, all right? Because the Christ that was in Jesus was the Christ that was in glory with him before he even came down here, all right? And communicate with the Christ in the body of Jesus so that Jesus could do the miracles. Jesus said, everything that I do, my Father, my Father gives me the power to do it, and I'm in communion with my Father, and he does it, okay? Now, a lot of times, okay, Jesus did most of his praying in the middle of the night. He didn't do his praying in the daytime or in the nighttime. He would do it in the middle of the night, and he would spend hours. He probably would spend maybe, who knows how long he spent. He could have spent 6, 7, 8 hours. Nobody knows, but he prayed for a long time in the middle of the night. And he was talking to the Father when he was praying, you know, when he wasn't around people and he wasn't around distractions. So then in the daytime, when he started going about his ministry, he wasn't going through all of this, you come out and I tell you, come out and you better be healed. He didn't go through all them changes. He didn't talk to his Father. All he did was speak the word, because he got all that he needed from the Father in prayer before he started out the next day. So when I don't care what the situation was, whether they was dead like your Irish daughter, whatever. It didn't make no difference. Because Christ talked to God in prayer. God gave him the power and the word. He went out the next day and he did what he did. Okay? He didn't have to get into no long discussion. And he got around. He was so fired up with the indwelling Christ in him, with that anointing that was in him. He would be around people. He wouldn't say nothing. He was reading people as he was looking at him. Because the anointing in that body of Jesus was the force and the power that activated that anointing so that he could do what he did. Okay? Now, Jesus, at the time when he was on the earth, most of the time, he could only be in one section of a place at one time. Now, the Holy Spirit, since Jesus has departed, is all over the planet at one time. Now, you must understand, a spirit doesn't have any limitations of a body. It doesn't have any confines. And it could be, since God is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent, he can be at every place on the globe at one time. The enemy of our souls can only be in one place and one spot at one time. That's why he has his helpers that we call, that's how he has a whole lot of helpers that he calls demons, who assist him to do his evil. Okay? Now, the devil can only be at one place at one time, but the Holy Spirit can be, the indwelling Holy Spirit can be in billions of people at one time, all over this planet, who have surrendered to Christ, who have the indwelling Holy Spirit, okay? But those collective individuals who have the Holy Spirit within them make up the body of Christ, okay? Now, in verse 17, it says, even the Spirit of truth, okay? The Greek says the Spirit of the truth, which refers to the Word of God. Actually, he does far more than merely superintend the attributes of truth, as Christ is truth. Now, you know, that's a whole big controversy going on right now about what is truth. A whole lot of people in the world now are coming up with this line about, well, what is truth? Okay? And the only truth that exists in the universe is the truth of Jesus Christ. Okay? So, Jesus Christ is the truth. He carries the truth with him because, see, it says the Word of God. God is not a man that he should lie. Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie. Now, when Jesus Christ was walking the earth, he walked the earth as a man. So the man Jesus, when he walked the earth, did not lie. And now the man Jesus, in the glorified form, with the Christ indwelling him, all one unit in heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father, God does not lie. And the Holy Spirit that he sent to the earth to be the comforter, which I read at the beginning of this discussion, you heard the word comforter come up? Well, the comforter or paracletus means Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Okay? And the Holy Spirit is not a lie either. Okay? Now, the Spirit gets in man often when man's dealing with situations and he gets fearful of people or he thinks they got authority and he starts lying. Okay, he puts aside all of his human reason. All he feels is he feels threatened in the soulless realm about something, and then he starts lying. Okay, but see, you can't go about this world trying to get access, favor, or gain with lies, because what will happen is that in the end time, when God has all of us standing before him, God said, no liar will tarry in my sight. And when he said no liar would tarry in my sight, he means liars that have intentional lies, people who tell things that they don't have no intentions of doing. That's a lie, too. All kinds of lies, okay? Because see what lies function on, the whole pinnacle around a lie, the whole seat of a lie is deception. Somebody wants you to believe or act on something that does not exist. Or you're going to try to conjure it into existence when it don't exist. And you're going to try to give it power with the spoken words from your lips. Now, God spoke the universe with his word. And the reason God hasn't destroyed man and the devil because God's integrity can't violate his word. His integrity is so high that when he speaks something, he can't go back to change nothing. Because he said, I gave man authority on the earth. You're probably trying to say, yeah, well, how come God didn't tighten up Adam in the garden and straighten Eve out. Why did he let it all go down? Because God gave man authority on the earth. And when he gave man that authority on the earth, he could not interfere. God could not say, well, look, you can't do that. I'm going to warn you. No, God said, I gave you the authority. You make the mistake, you're making it yourself. Okay? I can't do nothing about it. See, so that's why after man made his, you know, his fall in the Garden of Eden, God knew that was going to happen before he even created man in the ages past. And when that happened, God had plans. He said to his son, son, you're going to have to go down here, and you're going to have to show him how it's done. Okay? Because flesh can't, you know, I mean, just like the Ten Commandments, God gave him the Ten Commandments, but he knew flesh couldn't keep the Ten Commandments. God appointed Saul as king of Israel, but he knew this. God appointed Saul as Israel, king of Israel, because the people of Israel wanted a king. But that wasn't God's choice. That wasn't God's mind. That wasn't God's decision. So they said, we wanted a king to rule over us. So God gave them the desires of their heart. And since he was not God's choice and he wasn't anointed, he eventually fell and committed suicide. Now, when you don't get saved, people, you are committing spiritual suicide. Listen to me. Spiritual suicide. Well, what are you talking about, spiritual suicide? I'm talking a part about you when you die, when your spirit and soul separate from your body. Your spirit and soul have to go somewhere. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have committed spiritual suicide on your eternal soul, because that is your real you. This body, our bodies ain't nothing but houses and tents for transportation and talking. God needs hands, God needs eyes, and God needs people to move about so they can do the works of God on earth. God needs a body to work through. So he needs the physical body to work through. All spirits need a body to work through. Now, just like God is a spirit, and God manifests his miracles and his works through people that he uses, the devil also is a spirit, and he uses his power to control the minds of men and to do all kinds of wicked works on the earth. Everything that's going on in this world is evil, is done by people. And it's not done because it just happened. Some person is behind it. And the person who's behind all of the evil and the wickedness in this world, whoever it may be, for whatever circumstance or situation, has the indwelling spirit of the enemy, Satan, in them. Okay? Because, see, it says, God said in the Word of God, look, he said in the New Testament, you cannot serve two masters. Now, when you're born, you won't have to choose who you're going to serve, because you won't have to serve one master or the other. Well, I'm going to stand aside. I don't want to serve it. I don't want to get in it. No, you don't have a choice in the matter, all right? Because when you come into this world, you're coming into a fallen world. We were born. When we get to the age of accountability, which is the age where God figures you know enough about things to you can figure out what's right and wrong, then God's going to hold you accountable. At that time, you have to have a Savior and an advocate. All right, and before you can get the saving advocate when you're a young man or woman, the devil's going to try to get rid of you or destroy you before you can even come to the knowledge of Christ, because he knows that once he can enlist somebody and brainwash them and buy them off with money and power, whatever it is that's going on, he's got somebody that he can destroy multitudes and millions of souls with. All right, now see, you got to understand, the devil's whole thing is the devil wants to get back at God because God kicked him out of heaven, okay? And he can't go back. I mean, he didn't have access to accuse it, because it says in the Word of God that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, right? If you read in the book of Job, when the sons of man, God, Satan came with him, and God said, what is it, Job, what you want? I mean, they said to Satan, well, what is it you want? And then Satan started coming up with all this stuff about Job. Well, listen, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. So let him accuse. He can accuse all he wants. But don't you believe it. He wants you to believe the accusations. He wants you to act on the accusations. And as long as he can get you believing a lie, not acting in faith, he can destroy you. That's the whole thing. Okay? So you can't, get intertwined and listen to his little suggestions and bribes and nonsense. Okay? And everything that the devil's got going on, he wants to distract you from the anointing of Christ. He wants to keep your mind off the things of Christ. And he wants to get your mind and dwelling on a bunch of nonsense. If you spend your time
are looking at a bunch of different things through the media and listen to a bunch of stuff that the media presents, you will take your focus off of Christ, and you'll have your mind on those things that you've ingested,
okay,
that you saw. And when your attention is distracted from the Lord and the things of God, you cannot be an effective disciple of Christ while you are in this earth. The only thing that matters while we are on this earth is what we do for God, okay? Because when God gets ready to take us home, we can't take nothing we brought here or accumulated with at all. And a lot of people got their minds on the temporary, the ephemeral, whatever you want to call it, stuff that they have that does not, when you die, it stays. Somebody else comes in and takes your stuff, and they use it. Like, for instance, when you die, okay, if you have a wife or a husband, they stay behind, okay? God will do with them or deal with them how he will. But I'm saying you got to understand, all right, that you need an advocate. You need a savior, okay? You need a savior who can save your soul, provide you a comforter, and be your advocate for every situation and circumstance you may encounter while you are sojourning in this earthly realm, before you go home one day to your heavenly home realm. Without the advocate, without salvation, without the blood of Jesus Christ, blood atonement, you accept Jesus as your savior, because his blood was shed for you over 2,000 years ago, right, on Golgotha, on that cruel, on that cruel thing. But it had to be that way, because if he hadn't have done that, nobody in the earth would have been saved, and we would have all been going to hell, all right? Because, see, God was in a situation where he couldn't destroy us because he created us. Now, he did that during the flood, one time. He did that. He wiped everybody out. But that was done because during that period of time, the angels of men who were angelic beings had sexual intercourse with the women down here and produced race of giants. They produced the race of giants. And Goliath was one of them. They were very tall, men. But that was because they were the seed of a woman and the seed of an angel. And that offspring, God had said, he said they're trying to contaminate the seed of the woman so that Jesus can't come down here. So that's why God had the flood, so he could get rid of all of that mess, try to wipe it out. Now, even though God had the flood, do you know that right after the flood, the enemy tried to resurrect that mess again? But God put a stop to it, okay? Because, see, the enemy knew that if the, God told him, he told the prophet Hosea, he said, I'm going to bruise your heel. He said, I'm going to wound you and bruise you. And what the devil said, I have to try to stop this, So he said, the woman is the target. If I can contaminate everyone, if I can get a woman polluted, Christ can't come in the earth. Now, I just said a few things that I hope you will think about, but you just remember, because my time is running short today to speak to you, that you need a heavenly Savior first, who will automatically become your advocate. See, you don't have to pay no dues and go join some firm or something. When you get saved, he is your advocate. And your advocate talks to God about any situation you may have. So God bless all of you, and I look forward to talking to you again another time.
Thanking God for the wonderful, inspiring words, amen, and reference are St. John, the 14th chapter, and St. John, the 15th chapter. The elder was saying that you cannot come to Christ, but there is reference, John, the 15th chapter, 16th verse, and says, I've chosen you, you didn't choose me. And we just thank God for the word of God, because the word of God is right. So we need the advocator. We need that comforter, because you can't go back with Christ without the Holy Ghost. You have to have the comforter. The Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you in all truth. Amen. Praise God. We have to have the comforter. praise God, because flesh cannot do it. You need God. You need the word of God. And you need, amen, God's masterpiece, his manual. So we just praise God for you. Amen. May heaven smile upon you. We know, amen, that you tune in from time to time. And we just thank you for your support. And look us up on our Facebook. We got Twitter, amen, and we have our website. We have some interesting things on the website, and you can go to pushforamiracle.com. God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you. We love you in Jesus' name.